Third hour, Darren Dunnick and Chase here on this rainy Monday. Darren McFarland, Willie Dunnick here with you. Elijah Campbell manning things at the game studios. Let's talk a little Vols as they get a 56-0 shutout win at home on Saturday afternoon. And boy, do they have quite the test coming up Saturday night down in the Swamp against the Gators. We bring in our man Vince Ferrara, WNML. In Knoxville, the sports animal, at Vince Sports on Twitter. He's free and easy and a great follow. You should follow him on Twitter. He now joins us. Vinny, how you doing?
I'm good, guys. Hope you guys are doing well. Thinking about Chase as well. So, thoughts with him for sure.
No doubt about it, as are we. I don't know what we can really learn about this game against Tennessee Tech. Tennessee Tech is not very good. And so we'll just go there. I'll just start with, what did you learn, or did you learn anything from that game? What stood out to you?
Well, I think there are a couple of things. One is that the line of scrimmage probably didn't match the final score. It didn't look as dominant as you would think in a 56-0 game, and what I think a lot of people would have expected. That is not only a FCS program, that's not a high level or a very good FCS program, and they've been pushed around more by other teams more so than Tennessee did. And Tennessee did not, I think, really dominate the line of scrimmage like you would have expected. I mean, for them to rush the ball without the dominance that is expected, just kind of pretty disappointing. 4.6 per carry. Your quarterback's your leading rusher for the second week in a row, and that's something that Heupel touched on in the post game, that they got to be better in the run game. And so, what are you going to do with an SEC front? So now that doesn't always translate. Sometimes, you guys saw Vanderbilt was a lot better against Stanford than they were against ETSU. So it's not that there's not always that transitive property, but it's got to be a lot better if they're going to hold up against Florida. Also saw, what did we learn? We learned that overthrowing deep balls by Tennessee quarterbacks is either contagious or something that they all have in them. So all of them did it that played. Hooker did it. Now he didn't do it with the frequency that Milton did. And he also hit on a few beyond 20 yards, and even Bailey overthrew one as well. So it's just something that all the guys, the coaches, the players, we talked to a bunch of them today, they're all saying that, hey, it's, they're hitting them in practice and they are going to hit them. They're confident in it. But so that was another thing that, again, needs to elevate. And then I think on the positive side, because of guys being held out, and because of the score, it allowed them to play a lot of younger and newer guys to UT, a decent amount of snaps in this game, and not add on unnecessary snaps when they don't have a lot of depth. So I think between those two things, I think it will be a positive that at least they got some guys some snaps. Granted, if they're forced into action in an SEC play, it's going to be a whole different situation, but it should be better than them having no snaps or only on special teams should they be needed down the road. So I think that was a positive out of it as well.
Something I learned is Hooker's a pretty tough guy, man. That was a pretty scary run that he's got to learn to get down, man. That looked like, oh, my gosh, he's injured, but, hey, he stood in there, stayed with it, and finished off the drive with a touchdown.
Yeah, he's a much more willing runner that seems to like it more so than Milton. Milton will do it, and he kind of avoids contact at times. Milton, when we saw him, and Hooker's a little bit more. He reminds me some of Josh Dobbs in that he can be slippery. And I think he even invites the contact a little bit more. But guys seem to bounce off of him a little bit, and he likes doing it. He was effective doing it at Virginia Tech. He had two games where he rushed for over 150 yards. And, you know, he's played, he's had some games where that was a bigger factor for him than in the past game. So, yeah, I think you're right. He needs to be smarter at in those circumstances, but also he's got to protect the ball, because I think that will impact his leash in the game. If he gets the nod and he plays, if he turns the ball over, those will be viewed with even greater value than overthrowing deep balls if he can't protect the football. Fumbled again in this game, nearly had another one. That's something that he's got more of than Milton. And so, you know, but the offense has run better with him in there. But you're right, he can't turn the ball over, and he's got to sort of save himself, especially if he is the guy for whenever that is.
I'll be honest, I, you know, because we got rained out and everything, we had so much rain over the weekend, I watched a ton of games, a ton of football over the weekend, and, you know, I got burned last night because I watched the NFL all day and turned away late. Thought the Chiefs had it in the bag, and I got burned on that one. I turned away early in the Florida Alabama. I was like, you know, we've seen this before. I mean, we get it. You know, Alabama's good. They're going to smoke Florida, and here we go again. You know, it's like I'm moving on to other games. But, you know, luckily I went back and I watched a healthy dose of the second half. And to be honest, what I watched in the second half, and I watched that first quarter, and it was all dominated by Alabama. But that whole second half was dominated by Florida. Did you see anything that maybe Florida exposed with Alabama? Or how did you view that game? Because quite honestly, I mean, I think Florida played good enough to win the game. How did you feel about it?
You know, it's a mixed bag, and I caught it choppy as I was finishing up post-game. It's one of the
true. Yeah, you had that.
One team speak.
Yeah,
I will go back and watch the whole thing, and maybe I'll have a different view of it. Watching it kind of in the background, in and out, I think it showed that Alabama had the couple of things that they've had issues with at times is the running quarterback, sort of that dual threat quarterback, and I think that verified it, and then also offensively, them not having quite the running game that they've had in the past to rely on. So those were a couple of things that we kind of wondered maybe quietly about that showed up in that game. Here's the thing. Florida has been really one of the few teams that has played them well and has an answer to those things and could take advantage of those things. But Florida's running game, averaging 6 yards a carry against Alabama.
No
doubt.
That
is so rare. So that part of it was a little bit different, but you have to factor in that quarterback run that at times for the high-level guys has given Alabama some issues. So I'm not going to overreact to it and say, well, it's wide open now. I want to see somebody else do that. And maybe I'll make Alabama pay for it. And even then, they get better as the year goes on. They have a response to, you know, when they take a regular season loss. It's not like they never lose. To me, I'm not all that fazed that suddenly that they're not still the best team. I still view them in that way. And it's good to get a test sometimes so you can keep your guys motivated in practice during the week and, you know, keep trying to get better.
That long drive by Florida was done. Naquan Wright was unstoppable on that drive. It was unbelievable. Yeah. They better watch out for him, because I'm telling you, that was an impressive drive by Florida. I mean, who drives on Alabama like that, the length of the field, and just crams it down their throat? And like I said, basically it was the Naquan Wright drive. It was impressive. Florida, they were a lot better than I thought. Like I said, I gave up on them in the first quarter. I was like, yeah, blowout loss. It's not going to be like the SEC championship game. And, boy, I got to give it to them, man. They shut things down. And I'll be curious to see how Tennessee handles. And as we've seen with the fans back in the stands, the Swamp is a pretty tough place to play.
Yeah, Darren, and that's to me a different answer is what changed in viewing that game. My view of Alabama didn't change that much. My view of Florida actually changed a lot more in being impressed with what they were able to do against Alabama. So it's the running game threat of multiple guys. They have multiple running backs that had good games, including Wright, as you mentioned. And then they didn't even play Richardson, a quarterback who's been the most dynamic of their running quarterbacks. So I think it presents a lot of problems. Now, Tennessee, statistically, one of the better run defenses in the country this year. They're only giving up 54 yards per game. That's tied for fifth in the country. But they also haven't had the level of competition. It jumps up drastically. So Tennessee overall has been a good tackling team. They have to be against Florida, especially with the quarterbacks. And then Tennessee's got to be healthy. They haven't had Latrell Bumpus defensive in the last couple of games. They finally got Byron Young, who, to me, looked pretty good rushing off of the edge in that game, even though Tennessee Tech was getting rid of the football quickly. So he's going to be important, showed good change of direction. So he's going to be guys on those edges against those quarterbacks. Got to read or write, and then you got to react with quickness and then make those tackles. So the tackling aspect has got to come through. The health, they didn't have Juwan Mitchell in this last game. So they've got to get healthy in a lot of areas. Theo Jackson's going to be big in this game too from that star position. That's another area where you're in a bind in defending those rushing quarterbacks and those running backs being able to bounce it off the edge. You got to make those tackles in the open field. Theo Jackson leads them in tackles, and he has done a real nice job of it, but again, it's on a different level. And Darren, you mentioned the atmosphere. This team has been at home, hasn't had anything to deal with, especially offensively, in terms of handling any sort of noise. So we'll see how Heupel prepares his team for that atmosphere. Look, this is how new of a Tennessee team they're bringing to Gainesville in that environment with a full house when that didn't happen last year, obviously, and it's been a couple of years. Tennessee has already had 46 players make their debuts in a Tennessee uniform. 46 new players, 20 of them freshmen, 12 true, 8 redshirt, and then others that are, you know, transfers and guys getting their first opportunity, you know, after a couple of years. So that's a lot of guys that are just getting their feet wet in a Tennessee uniform, much less making the jump to the swamp in the atmosphere they had against Alabama. And then one other factor real quick, Dan, is the after Alabama effect, right? Teams often get beat up after facing Alabama. What's Florida's physical state in that game? I think they have the better roster, but do they have, you know, are they banged up or they lose guys here and there at key positions? That's something else to kind of track this week.
I think that is a really good one to look for, is to see if there's a little bit of a hangover after such an emotional game where they were right there with the best team in the country. Vince Ferrara is with us. Tennessee right now is close to a 3-touchdown underdog right now as the line comes out early. So, Vince, tell me how you would deploy the quarterbacks here. I know the fans really wanted to see Bailey. They got to see him some on Saturday. You've got the overthrows, all of these things. What's your best guess on the quarterback that gives them the plan maybe that gives them the best chance?
Well, I think I know I would start Hendon Hooker. I think that's the direction they would go because early in the week, they still haven't been committal in terms of Milton's health. And when Josh Heupel was asked about it early today at the press conference he was asked if Milton's healthy, is he your starting quarterback? And Heupel said, well, I don't deal in hypotheticals. We got to see where he's at. And then when we know, then we can move forward. That kind of makes it seem like it's up in the air. But I also think if he's not able to fully practice, you can't put him out there without a couple of weeks of full practice and then send him out into the swamp. Unless their view of him is much more significant in the gap than what they think of Hendon Hooker. That would be the only way. But I think it would trend towards Hooker. I think that's where I would go. The offense is run efficient, more efficient. Yes, he's got to clean up those turnovers, but you know they got to be better in other areas. But in terms of the quarterback, I think the offense has settled down with them. It's so interesting. They take so many more deep shots with Milton than they do with Hooker. Now, they took some, and Hooker connected on some beyond 20 yards, but they were averaging Hooker in his limited playing time like six yards per throw, whereas the Milton, his throws are much farther down the field on average. Now, we saw it change a little bit in that last game, but they say the offense is the same, but I don't know that we've fully seen it yet. It's a lot more of the quick underneath stuff, and maybe he's reading those things better, and so they're calling it. But this offense is about quick throws and deep shots down the field. And if you can't hit your deep shots, then you know that you're missing out on a lot of your offense, and you're putting your defense back out on the field quickly. So maybe that's a work in progress in the deep shots that they take down the field. So how do you work it? I would give him more opportunities down the field, but I think their best shot is like Florida, where you got to involve him in the run game. You got to get somebody else running the football too, though. It can't just be on that QB, because they won't win if it's just Hooker or the quarterback running the ball as their leading rusher as well.
Vince, it's such a big, big topic all around college sports, just the transfer portal, the rule now that you can transfer once free, and COVID. It has created such an amazing dynamic. There's some good, there's some bad. But I know Josh Heupel has handled it really well. You mentioned that he's got so many guys that are making their debut in a Tennessee uniform. Meanwhile, we've talked a lot about To'o To'o. I watched the Oklahoma-Nebraska game. Gray getting a lot of run for Oklahoma. He's a key guy for them. You think about the what if Heupel had a few more of these guys to work with, what kind of difference it might make.
Yeah, Ty Chandler rushed for 198 yards for North Carolina in their win against Virginia.
I forgot to mention him.
So, and people still like who cares whenever any of us bring up someone that's no longer there. But it's like misses in recruiting. Like, you can act like it only matters who you get. I'm sorry, it matters who you don't get. That counts to me too. And so, they left for different reasons, but man, it's unfortunate, because I think that could really change things had they had one of those two guys, much less both of them. But it is what it is, and a number of those guys, there's been more of them that have been outgoing than ingoing. I thought Henry To'o was a little inconsistent, got beat some in that Florida game. I don't think that was his best game, but it's not like he was perfect at Tennessee either. And then it would add depth, but this Tennessee team just does not have the depth, and a lot of that is that transfer portal.
Vince, great stuff. We will talk to you again next week. Looking forward to seeing how Tennessee handles themselves at Florida. And, again, talk to you next Monday.
All right, sounds good. Always great to be with you guys. Thank you.
All right, Vince Ferrara, the sports animal over in Knoxville. Always great insights on the Vols. On that, let's see, where are we going? Let's go to Darren right now for a word on DraftKings. Darren, Monday Night Football tonight. Or maybe not. Darren has gone blank. Okay, Darren will have a word from DraftKings, I'm sure, soon enough. We'll come back, though. Stay tuned. We're just getting it cranking. A lot coming. We'll go around the NFL at 1 o'clock. We'll update you as well on some of the injury reports that are coming up. We'll get back to our Titans discussion. A lot to break down here on this Monday, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.